Wonderful. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Garner, and great song. And hope you've enjoyed your day at church. And it's great. It's a great life to serve the Lord and to put Him first. And hey, folks, this is the first day of the week. We're supposed to dedicate this day to the Lord and give Him the first fruits of all our increase. You say, well, this is not an increase. Well, you got life, don't you? He's extended life to you another day, and this just happens to be the first day of the week. And so we ought to dedicate this day to the Lord. You know, I love being a part of a church that where people love souls. They love ministering. They love going after people. They love loving the kids, the teenagers, and the adults. And, you know, I enjoy that because I love seeing people serve God in those types of areas, and ministering to people. It's always a joy to see somebody, whether it be at an altar here or in a children's church across the street, sitting in a chair, kneeling down, have their Bible open, talking to a little kid, you know, about the Lord, showing them how to be saved in the Bible. And that's exciting. I love to see that. And I hope that you never, ever get over the excitement of seeing people born again and saved. Well, take your Bible, Romans 12, 2 Timothy 4, if you would please. Romans 12 and 2 Timothy chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I want to quote you a statement here by the late great coach Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi said these words. He said, "Perfection is not attainable. But if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence." Now let that soak in just a minute. You say, man, that's a good statement, but how does it work? Well, I don't know. He figured out how it worked because he was a successful coach. Listen to it again. Perfection is not attainable. But if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. This coach demanded from his players their very best. He demanded the best from every player, every positional player. And by the way, he demanded the best from every coach as well. And I want you to let that sink in tonight. That is a secular quote. But I want to take the idea behind what Coach Lombardi taught his players and his coach. And as I was studying the scriptures this week, God led me to two passages of scripture to another man that I believe was dedicated to giving his very best. And I want you to look, if you would, in Romans chapter 12. Would you stand with me in verse number 1? And then we'll skip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now we know that the book of Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. Would everybody agree with me? This man, I believe, gave his best. I believe he gave his best for the Lord. He gave his best in everything that he did. And as a child of God, in Romans 12, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now I want you to notice here, he said, which is your reasonable service. He said, there's a God in heaven that saved your soul. There's a God in heaven that cares for you and extended grace and mercy to you. He says, doesn't he at least deserve our best? Doesn't he at least deserve the best that we can possibly give him? Go, if you would, now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, once again, communicating to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. Paul's kind of winding his ministry down. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse number 6, notice what Paul says. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And stop before we read this next verse. That almost sounds like a man that's actually saying, you know what, I did my best. I absolutely did my best for the cause of Christ. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then notice this. He said, henceforth, glory to God. He said, because I put forth my best, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I want to take these verses tonight from the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, our reasonable service, we ought to give our best. And then as he's communicating, he's kind of winding his life down, he looks at a young preacher and he says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he says, because I've done my best, you know what? I'm ready. God can come today, or he can take my life. I'm ready because I've done my best. You know, the reason I think some of God's people are not so anxious for Jesus to come back or to face death is because they know good and well they hadn't done their best. They know good and well they have not done their best, and they do not want to face their Creator not having done their best. And yet we're supposed to pray that even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're supposed to pray for his coming. And yet here Paul in verse number 8 said, you know what, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I want to speak to you tonight on this thought, church. Blessed for our best. Blessed for our best. Now, Father, we know that you deserve the best. We know that regardless of what comes our way, we're to give you all that we have, because Jesus gave all that he had, his life. And I pray tonight that as a child of God, that when we leave here tonight, under the theme of what we're trying, Lord, to live as a church, character, build character and principles and ethics and integrity in our life. We cannot do it if we don't determine to give our best. And so I pray tonight, teach us something from the Bible. Give all the glory to Jesus, for it's in his wonderful name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, someone said you're only doing your best when you're trying to improve what you're doing. You're only doing your best if you're trying to improve what you're doing. Someone else said the best preparation for tomorrow is doing your best today. I like that kind of stuff, don't you? I like people who are determined to do their best in anything that they do. You know, it doesn't matter whether they're mowing the yard, they do their best. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter what they're playing, what game, they want to do their best. You know, I don't know about you, but I was never raised or taught to quit. My dad never taught me to quit. Matter of fact, I remember growing up that, and I was on a Pee Wee football team, and it was kind of for ages 10, 11, and 12. And I got involved in that at 10 years old, and I remember the 10-year-olds, they put you in what's called, well, then they used to call it the bull in the ring. They'd put you in there, and man, he'd call a number of kids to come out, these 12-year-olds, and just wipe you out, man. And they'd do that, and they'd hit you, and then he'd start calling two or three, and two or three would come out and pop you inside that ring. And I remember leaving that practice. I didn't want anybody to see me cry. But I remember leaving that practice crying, and I said, you know what? This ain't happening again. I'm not doing this. I went home and told my dad. I said, no. And by the way, he just bought me a new helmet, just bought me new shoulder pads, just bought me a new mouthpiece. And I told him, I said, I'm not doing this. I said, I love football and stuff, and I played since I was that big, but I said, these kids are too big. They were 11 and 12. I said, I'm not going to do this again. He said, oh, is that right? And I said, yes, 10 years old now. I'm not going to do this anymore, Dad. He said, well, let me tell you, son, you don't have a choice. You will show up again tomorrow, and I will take you there. And I did it again. And then the next day I tried to quit again. He wouldn't let me quit. Let me tell you something. My dad, even as a lost man, believed in giving your best. He believed in, listen, you don't stop, you don't quit, you don't make excuses, you find a way to make it happen. You know, it doesn't matter whether it is in the secular world or in the church house. I think a Christian ought to give their best regardless of what the rest of the world's doing. You know what, tonight, church, I believe you ought to be the best employee your company has. Or at least try to be. I think, you know what, regardless of where you are in life, I don't care if you're stocking groceries or flipping hamburgers, you ought to be the best one that company has or the best one that restaurant has. Why? Because you're a believer. You're a child of God. The world needs to see that there still exist people who believe in doing their best and giving their best for the glory of God. You see, I don't want my life to be remembered as one that was brilliantly mediocre, but one where I gave my best effort in every area of my life. Church, I believe that true and sincere Christian character will demand the best in our lives. I believe character demands it. I believe integrity demands it. I believe principle demands it. Have you ever thought that the effort about this? Have you ever thought about the effort that you put forth in life? Have you ever thought about the effort that you put forth in life to accomplish an assigned task or a job? Listen now, is a direct reflection on you and as a Christian and a reflection on the Lord as well? You ever heard people say, well, Christians are lazy. Now, where'd they get that idea from? Because obviously there are some lazy Christians. Obviously there are some people that want to get paid for work that they don't accomplish. That's a shame unto God. Hey, listen, shouldn't employers be anxious to hire believers first because of their stability and their work ethic? Because they have a desire to do their best and give their best. Let me ask you, church, did Jesus display His love for the Father by doing and giving His best? Did Jesus give His best for us? Yes, because He gave it all. He gave it all. I'm here to tell you that Jesus gave His life for us, even though we didn't deserve it. But by the way, since when has it been the right for a believer not to do their best just because something or somebody don't deserve it? That's never been the criteria. If that's the case, you know what? Then we fall in the criteria. We don't deserve to be saved. But the Lord gave His best anyway. I didn't deserve it, but He gave it to me. I'm here to tell you tonight, child of God, listen to me. There's a blessing for those who are willing to do their best. We'll never obtain or attain perfection. Vince Lombardi said, you know what, if you chase it, you can catch excellence. So you can catch doing your best. You see, character and doing our best, it's a mindset. It's a desire not only to please yourself, but to please the Lord. I want to use an example for just a moment. Turn, if you would, to Luke 15. Turn to Luke 15 for just a moment and verse 17. Luke 15 and verse 17. You'll recognize it when you get there. Luke 15. I tell you, go ahead and go skip back to verse number 11. Let's just catch up right here. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there, what did he do, church? He wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now listen to this. He said, I will arise and go to my father. Now listen, he had enough sense to realize he didn't deserve it, but he was going to go back anyway. He says, I don't deserve it, but I'm going to go back to the father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. And look at this. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now I want you to listen. Something here is about to happen. The father sees the son who was not worthy of anything except being chewed out for taking and going off into a far country. But you know that that's not how the father treated him. When he came home, I'm sure that there were others that expected the father to rake him over the coals. But I want you to notice what the father did in verse 21, or in verse 22. But the father said to his servants, listen now, bring forth the best. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Did you notice in verse 22 that they didn't say, well, this is my son that went spending it for everything. Go try to find something in the back closet the moths have eaten holes in. Bring it out there. At least he'll have something to wear. Now, you know what he told them to do? He told them to go get the very best. He said, go get the best and put it on him. Listen, church, the son was not worthy of the father's kindness, but the father gave him his best. Listen to me, it was the son that left the father, not the father the son. And yet the father still gave him his best. The father displayed genuine Christian character because the Bible said he had compassion on him. And he still gave him the best robe. The father brought forth the best of what he had and gave it to the son. He said, well, he didn't deserve it. I know he didn't deserve it. But the father still showed character. And he gave him the best that he had to that son. You see, if the father displayed the best of character and gave the best robe to one who was not worthy of it, let me ask you tonight, church, and where do we stand before the father, and what should we give him in return? The son had nothing to give. The father gave his best, did he not? You say, but what did the son have to give back? Just himself. That's all he had. He'd spent all his money. He said, listen, I came to his senses, and he came back to the father, and all he had to give was himself. You know what? The father accepted him, and you know what? The father blessed him because the son came back and gave his best that he had. And it was just him. That's all he had left. It was just a torn up, ruined life. You see, maybe there's some tonight that have followed the course of the prodigal. Maybe some tonight have kind of gone your way and done your thing. And you say, well, preacher, I'm sorry. I just can't do my best. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I'm ashamed of how I've lived my life. Well, so did the prodigal. But at some point, you're going to have to come to yourself. And if you'll come with your best, you listen to me, the Father will give His best. If you'll come with your best, the Father will bless you as the Father blessed that prodigal son. You see, the son returned and all he could offer was his best, and that was what little life he had left. You know, he was willing to become a servant. He said, you don't even have to call me your son. And the father said, that can't be. You are my son. That cannot possibly be. And so you know what? He didn't expect anything, but you know what he got when he came home? The best. He got the best robe, a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. They killed the fatted calf. Why? Because the father was excited. Because the son has come home to give his best. The son has come home. He's finally come to realize, I didn't give my best to my father, but this time, it's all different. It's all different. Well, when you decide to do things like that, not everybody's happy. Not everybody's for you. The older brother said, well, you know what, Daddy? Never give me no robe. I never got the best robe. I never got a fat calf killed for me. And my friends come over and we had a great time. You never did that to me. You know what the father told him? He said, let me tell you something, boy. He said, all that I have is yours. He said, don't you understand? Your brother was lost, but now he's found. He's come home. You know what that older son said? Daddy, I've given my best all my life. You haven't done this for me. He said, well, just hang on. There's coming a day when old dad is fixing to go yonder way. And all that I have is yours. You see, that younger son, even though his life was messed up, listen, he gave the best that he had. You may think that your best is not very much. You may think that your best is not like someone else's best. But always keep in mind that God's not expecting someone else's best out of you. He's expecting your best. You see, that's the reason, listen to me, church. He's expecting your best. So you know what we need to do? Don't compare in your life. Repair what's wrong and do your best. Don't compare, just repair what needs to be repaired so that you can give God your best. It's the most accurate, it's the most advanced, it's the highest degree of service. Well, we've read a couple of scriptures tonight of the Apostle Paul. And I want to give you just a quick character sketch, some practical applications will be done early tonight. But the Apostle Paul, probably in my opinion, was probably the epitome of giving his best in everything that he did. You know, Paul even gave his best, did you know, as a lost man? Did you know in Philippians chapter 3, listen to me, he said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a lost man and gave his best to become the best that he could possibly be. Hebrew of Hebrews. He was one of the top Pharisees. You see, Paul's motivation to give his best didn't stop when he became a Christian. Amen. Man, people give and give and give, and all of a sudden they become a Christian, think we don't have to give no more. Don't have to think we do our best. Let me tell you something. When I became a Christian, it elevated my service. It elevated my dedication. It elevated every area of my life. God deserves our best. God doesn't deserve chicken feed. God doesn't deserve something that's left over. No, you know what? He deserves the absolute best in our life. Paul was motivated. He was motivated by his Christianity. It intensified his service. Listen, a perfect example of this you can find in Philippians 3 in verse number 8. Paul hungered. The scripture says there, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, he said. He said, man, I'm thirsting for it. He said, I want the excellency. I want to do the best I can possibly do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can kind of see what motivated Paul to offer his best. It was his love for Jesus Christ. It was his godly fear of standing before God one day empty-handed and wasted. When you read Paul's writings, you ever notice one of the things that absolutely petrified him? You ever notice that? One of the things that petrified him was being a shipwreck. One of the things that motivated him and drove him and that literally kept him in motion for God was his fear of being shipwrecked and not giving his best and having to face God empty-handed. He said, man, I hunger, I thirst for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He said, I'm hungry for it. Let me give you a couple of things about the Apostle Paul, and then I'll make some practical application here. I want to say, first of all, if you're writing down things, first of all, Paul would not turn away just because of difficulty. Paul would not turn from doing his best just because there was difficulty. Remember in the book of Acts when he was trying to be counseled not to go back to Jerusalem? They said, no, you can't go back there. There's hurt waiting you there. But you know what, God had already told him, right? Listen, God had already told him what was going to happen in his life. He said, no, I'm going. Now, when he got to Jerusalem, did he have problems? Yeah, he got arrested. But let me tell you something. If he hadn't gone, there'd be a bunch of people in Rome that never got the gospel. If he hadn't gone and got arrested and done his best, he says, I don't know what's waiting for me, but I'm going to do my best. And if he hadn't done that, there would have been a lot of people that would have been without God and without Christ. Why? Because he was dedicated. Paul would not turn back from giving his best just because of difficulty. Here's the second thing I want to say. Paul gave his best even when other people, or even when people didn't respond. He gave his best even when people didn't respond. Let me take you back a few chapters in the book of Acts to Acts 17. Paul tells some of his young followers, he said, now I want you to stay put here, I'm going to Athens. So Paul goes to Athens, and while he was there, he's walking around, and man, they got gods for everything. I mean, they got the roach god and the fish god and pig god, and they got all kinds of gods. And he's walking around, and he notices over there, he says, huh, that's an interesting one. I've never seen. What is the name on that one? It says, to the unknown God. So he thought, huh, this might be an open door. So you know what he does? He stands up and preaches. Now, people got interested. Now, if you go and check that out, you'll find out he had several responses to that message. Some says, well, you know, we'll come back and hear you on this matter again. Some just said, ah, you don't believe a Christian. But, you know, there were some that did believe. There wasn't many. And by the way, when you go check out, you'll find out Paul never established a church there either. You know why? Wasn't many believers and wasn't many people that were responding. But you listen to me. He stood up. Can you imagine preaching to a group of heathens like this? And he had to stand up and they're all looking at him. Some of the greatest philosophers and thinkers ever known to mankind lived in Athens, Greece. I don't know if he preached to any of them or not. But I tell you one thing, it took some guts, my friend, to stand up and preach to a group, a crowd like that. Now, you know what? That would be, listen, for us today, that would be like standing. He would be like standing there and preaching to a bunch of religious thugs. And all of them looking going. Because that's what they were thinking. But you know, Paul stood up, he said, listen, I'm dedicated to doing my best. I don't care what they look like. I don't care who they are. And may I say to you tonight, dear child of God, we're to give our best even when people don't respond. Here's the third thing. Paul gave his best when circumstances did not dictate it. Paul gave his best even when circumstances did not dictate it. Let's go back another chapter. We find ourselves in the city of Philippi. Remember that? Paul now has joined up with Silas. Barnabas and Mark have gone their way, and Paul now has joined up with Silas. And so they go into Philippi. Just like his custom was, he preached, he gave the truth. Well, golly, he got arrested again. You know where he finds, Paul and Silas find themselves? In prison. And so they're thrown into the, now listen, not the outer, they were put in the inner prison. Because they knew these guys are troublemakers. So they put them in the inner prison. Now the circumstances didn't dictate it. But he, old Paul, I'm sure, looked over at Silas. He said, you know what? The Lord hasn't failed us yet. The Lord's been good to us. And by the way, He gave His life for us. I committed a long time ago, Brother Silas, to give my best. And whether I'm in prison or whether I'm in a dungeon or regardless of where I am, I'm giving my best. He says, well, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to sing. We're going to what? Preacher? He said, we're going to sing. Well, what are we going to sing? He says, well, do you know something like this? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You say, preacher, it wasn't written back then. But they might have made up something like that. I wonder if they sung about the grace of God, the mercy of God. Listen, I don't know what they sang, but the prisoners all over the prison heard them. When they sang, the place was shaken where they were. Got that old Philippian jailer's attention. He said, man, they're singing. What's wrong with these people? Man, don't they realize they're in prison? Listen, the circumstances didn't dictate them giving their best, but you know what? They went ahead and gave it anyway. Even though the circumstances were dark and grim, and they didn't dictate giving their best. Number four, listen carefully. Paul gave his best even when others seemed not to be giving their best. You hear me? Paul gave his best when others around him didn't seem to be giving their best. Now, I want you to listen to me, child of God. Just because someone else chooses not to give their best doesn't mean that that qualifies you or disqualifies you from giving your best. We need to make an individual commitment to give our best. And then we need to make a collective commitment to give our best to the Lord. You see, in Paul's ministry, if you remember when he was hooked up with Barnabas and they were traveling, there came a time in Pamphylia that John Mark said, I'm not going any further. John Mark said, I'm sorry. I don't know all the circumstances. We decided, you know, I can't give my best anymore. So he went back. But you know what the Apostle Paul kept doing? Kept giving his best. Remember a young convert that he had by the name of Demas? You know what he said about Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas decided not to give his best. You know what Paul decided he was going to do? He's going to give his best. So, you see, he gave his best when others didn't seem to be giving their best. I like that because you know what? He wasn't influenced. Because he was determined. He had made his mind up. I'm giving my best for the glory of God. That's the reason, dear friend, that Paul, at the end of his life, said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm now ready to be offered. You know why? Because he's done his best. He said, I've done my best. You know, I found out the people that do their best for Christ and serving God, love souls. You know what? They get up each day, sunshiny, smile on their face. Boy, today could be the coming of Jesus. Today could be the coming of the Lord. Hey, they're not afraid of the coming of the Lord. Why? They're doing their best. They're doing their best. The last thing I noticed about the Apostle Paul is this. Paul ultimately gave the best that he had to the Lord, his life. I wonder if this church and the members of this church, anybody would be willing to stand up and give their life if it was required to keep the church doors open. I wonder if there would be children of God tonight that would be willing to stand up and say, preacher, I'll die for the book. I'll die for the cross. I'll die for Jesus Christ. Listen, Paul didn't just say it. He did it. He did it. All of his life. Listen, he spent a portion of his life in prison. But you know what? The circumstances didn't always dictate his best, but he gave it. He went ahead and gave his best even when it seemed that others weren't giving their best. He didn't turn away when difficult times come, and he gave his best even when people didn't respond. Now, let me make some personal application, practical applications, and we're done. Here's this. First of all, number one, we're going to bring this home to Trinity Baptist Church members. We're talking about character. We're talking about the principled life. We're talking about integrity. We're talking about ethics. First of all, number one, give your best effort for Christ. Give your best effort. I don't think many times, folks, that God gets our best effort. But we need to give our best effort for Christ. Hey, listen, don't try to find out what the minimum requirement is. Do your best. People are always looking, well, what's the minimum requirement? You hear that all the time in the secular world. Well, what's the minimum requirement for this job? You know what? If somebody told me that, I'd say, you just met it out. Because if you're looking for the minimum requirement, that's all you're ever going to do. That's all you're ever going to desire is meeting the minimum requirement. I said, first of all, church, give your best effort for Christ. Number two, give your best gift to Christ. Give your best gift to Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 31, talks about coveting and covet the best gifts. Every child of God has a spiritual gift of some sort, even if you only have one. But can I say you're supposed to give that one and give the best that you possibly can with that one gift to the Lord? Give your best gift to Christ. Give the best spiritual gift or gifts that you have and use them for the glory of God. I want to say also here, not only give your best spiritual gift, give your best financial gift that you can possibly give above your tithe. Don't tip God. Don't insult don't insult God. You say, preacher, I give my tithe. That's good enough. Yeah, but the scripture says tithes and offerings. We need to give our best. Give our best offering that we can possibly give above our tithe for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, folks. I've told you this before. I'll say it again. When I reach in my pocket or I reach up here and I pull my tithes and offerings out, I put them in the offering envelope. When I let go of them and it hits that plate, it's done, brother. It's no longer mine. That's my best. Here it is, Lord. Here's my best. I wonder if everybody can say that. Are you doing your best financially? Are you doing your best spiritually? Number three. I said give your best effort for Christ. Give your best gift to Christ. And then I want to say give your best service through Christ. Give your best service through Christ. Ask yourself some questions. Am I doing my best to reach people for Christ? Am I doing my best to reach people for Jesus Christ? When's the last time you reached in your pocket and pulled out a church tract and gave it to somebody? When's the last time you've looked at somebody square in their God-given eyeballs and said, you know what, do you know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? When's the last time that we've done our best to get the gospel to somebody? When's the last time we've done our best to welcome people to the church? People come and go, and listen, I'm telling you, folks, it's embarrassing sometimes. We got people that have been members of this church a year, and we've had some of our folks think they're still visitors. That's embarrassing. Because they'll tell me, say, preacher, you're not going to believe this, but one of your members came to me and tried to give me a visitor's card. Or one of your members came to me, one of our members came to me, they didn't know I was a member here. That's a shame. That's not our best. Listen, every church member ought to put forth their best service for Christ. Do we make people feel welcome? And then let me say, am I doing my best to comfort people? You know, a lot of people go through a lot of situations and issues, and you don't have to know all the details. But you know what? You can always tell when somebody's countenance what's going on. Am I doing my best to comfort people? And let me wrap this thing up and say this. I want to ask Mrs. Combs if she would come to the piano. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. You know, the Olympics are coming up fairly soon. And these Olympic athletes train for years. They prepare for years for an event. And they've trained, they work, and some of them for less than a 10-second race. But you know what they're working? They're working to give their best. Because they know in a situation at the Olympics that there are going to be other people that are giving their best. And they're going to give their best. And you say, well, preacher, my goodness, there's 10 or 15, and they're all giving their best. Not all of them can win. Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is they gave their best. The point is they've trained, they've worked, and now it's time. And they give their best. You see, I don't know about you, Trinity Baptist Church member. If an Olympic athlete will do that for their country, shouldn't we do that for our Savior? Shouldn't we do that for our God? Because Paul very plainly said, there's a blessing for doing your best. There's a blessing for doing your best. We're going to conclude tonight. I want you to take your hymn book, if you would. Turn to hymn number 308. You'll recognize it. We've sung it here many times. Hymn number 308. Let's stand together. The little song's called Our Best. We're going to sing the first verse there. We might sing another one. But get me on the right key there, Mrs. Combs. Hear ye the master's call. Give me thy best. Sing with me on that first verse now. Hear ye the master's call. Give me thy best. For be it great or small, that is the test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every word for Jesus. Here it is right here now. Blessed. But he asked from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be blessed, but unto him is due our best, our all. I want us to bow our heads. I'm going to ask Mrs. Combs to continue playing. Softly. That's our invitation, folks. I just want to ask you, are you doing your best? Have you done your best? I'm not going to have you raise your hands. I'm not going to make an appeal. You make the decision tonight. Because if we're not doing our best, church, then we got a God in heaven that has a plan and a will that's not being accomplished. You let God do in your heart what needs to be done.